This morning, though, we talked about, I guess we could almost call it a characteristic or an attitude that we are to have as Christians. That is the attitude of being certain, being like Paul was, knowing, being convinced. Tonight, I want to also speak for a little bit about a characteristic that we ought to have as a child of God. Just like this morning I suggested to you that no one really wants to go through life filled with uncertainties, never knowing exactly what's what or where's where or when is when, and not knowing how to determine whether you can depend on something. We don't like to go through life like that. There is also another aspect of our lives that we need to have a certainty in, and that is to be able to know whether or not we are faithful or whether we're strong and courageous. That's a choice, really, that we have. We have to make that choice. Are we going to be fearful as we go through this life and be afraid of everything that we encounter? Now, there is such a thing as, you know, being a little self-conscious, maybe, or not being sure of yourself, being afraid in front of an audience, or being afraid for some new endeavor, being a little nervous. That's one thing, but we're talking about in our service to God. Some people are fearful. I've had relatives tell me before that when they were younger, when they were still in high school, they were, you know, I'm small compared to the rest of my family. I mean, I'm kind of average size, I guess, but when the rest of my family is everywhere from 6'3 to 6'7, you know, me being 5'9, I'm small. But I've had some of my big relatives tell me before that when they were in high school, that they were scared to confront people with God's Word. And so even if they happened to be in, you know, have their Bible with them when they ran into somebody from school or whatever, that they would just kind of stick it in their back pocket, because they were nervous, they were fearful about standing up for God's Word and God's truth. And as Christians, I hope we know that we can't be fearful like that, but that instead we have to make the choice which button we're going to push. Are we going to lean over here on the fearful side, or are we going to choose the side with courage, strength, and courageousness? I hope tonight that as we look at some things from God's Word, we will see exactly what it takes to be strong and courageous. I want to start out tonight by thanking Will for leading that first song he led, well, all of them, but especially the first one leads us right into the beginning of what we want to talk about. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to stand like Joshua. And when we read in Scripture, this phrase, strong and courageous, by the way, only, believe it or not, as powerful as it is, it only occurs a handful of times in Scripture. It occurs a couple of times in regard to David. The rest of the time, it is directly related to Joshua. And in fact, almost every time, except for three, that this phrase is used in all of Scripture, it is used to talk about the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, directly dealing with Joshua. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, is the first instance we find this phrase, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." And so what we have here, in this case, it's Moses, and he's speaking these words before all Israel, and he says, "I'm 120 years old today. I'm not going to be able to come and go. God has told me that you're not going to cross the Jordan. God is going to cross ahead of you. Joshua is the one who God is going to send to cross ahead of you, just like the Lord has spoken. And then you'll be able to do to the folks over there just like God did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land. And God is going to deliver them up." So this is the first instance we see of that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. But then, in the very next verse, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7, then Moses called to Joshua. So Joshua himself, as he's standing before all the people, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance." So then we see here already, just in two verses in Deuteronomy 31, "Be strong and courageous, all you saints, all you children of Israel. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. You're going to lead them." This is the message from God through Moses. Well, as we're still in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and as we move down further toward the close of the chapter, we get down to verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23. Now Moses is still there with Joshua, and he commissions Joshua, the son of Nun, and says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And so here we have, three times now, in one little short section of verses, I think God is trying to make a point to the children of Israel. I think God is trying to make a point to Joshua. And it's pretty easy to see what the point is. Be strong and courageous. Joshua had a choice to make. The children of Israel had a choice to make. And the reason God presents them with this choice is, think what happened to the generation just that immediately preceded them. What happened to all of them? Well, they all died in the wilderness. Why did they all die in the wilderness? Because they weren't strong and courageous. God had spoken the words of the law to them. They had rejected God. They had rebelled against God over and over and over again. God had brought them to the door of the promised land. They had sent the spies in, Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 guys. Well, the other 10 guys, by the way, whose names we don't even remember, they're in the Bible. We don't remember them. Why? Because they weren't strong and courageous. We remember Caleb for sure, because he stood up against the whole nation and said, "We can take the land." The others said, "No, we can't," and they were going to stone Caleb. Joshua then stands up with Caleb and says, "No, he's right. God's with us. We can take the land." But everybody wanted to follow the other 10. Didn't trust God enough to be strong and courageous to walk into that land with God leading them. So now this next generation has the law restated to them there. That's what we find in the book of Deuteronomy. And it closes, Moses closes that by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be like these other guys. Don't be like the ones that came before you that are all dead out there in the wilderness," except for Caleb and Joshua. Don't be like that. Well, then what we get to is the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, now the people are getting ready to go into the land. And what do we see? After the death of Moses, Moses has died now, and God is coming and speaking to Joshua, the son of Nun. And there in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Now this is not a repeat, by the way, of what we just saw in Deuteronomy. This is still continuing. This is still part of the story, ongoing. Moses has died now, and God comes to Joshua again, "Be strong and courageous." And by the way, I will point out to you that in verse 7, even though it's not precisely the same phrase, it's very, very close. "Only be strong and very courageous." Right? So he's not letting Joshua forget. And then if you go on down to the 9th verse, then you see precisely the same phrase again. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Again, once again, I want to point out here, it seems like to me, just in less than two chapters worth of verses, we have all of these times, and we might as well go ahead and put up there Joshua 1:18 too, because we see it again. And so six times within just less than two chapters, we find this, "Be strong and courageous." In this last one that I put up there, Joshua 1:18, This is the people responding back to Joshua. They answered Joshua in verse 16, saying, "All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so will we obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command is does not obey your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Now it's the people telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. "We're behind you, Joshua. We're with you. We know what God has said, and we're with you." So six times in less than two chapters, the point is made that God expected his people, the children of Israel, and their leader, Joshua, to be strong and courageous. But then we have one more occasion in the book of Joshua. This is after they had begun the conquest of the land. They had been taking the land. They had engaged in taking the central part of the land. They had been engaged in taking the southern part of the land. And it was during this that we find in verse 25 of Joshua chapter 10. In verse 25 of Joshua chapter 10, we find that they have been chasing the kings who had been fighting against, leading the armies that were fighting against God's people. They had chased them. They had run away into a cave. Then they had sealed them up inside the cave. They had gone and finished the battle. They had come back and they had taken them out. And Joshua brought these kings out before the people in verse 25 and says to the people that are there with him, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight." And so then they put those kings to death, and that was the end of that section of the campaign. Well, the point, obviously, that we're making is that this new generation of Israelites, this new leader, they were going to face difficulties. They were going to face enemies. They knew that they were walking right in to a country that the people were going to try to keep them out. They were going to fight against them. It was going to be some dangerous situations. Sometimes, by the way, our difficulties and our dangerous situations, sometimes they're real, but I would suggest to you that sometimes they can be imagined too. A lot of times we create the difficulties and we create the dangerous situations in our mind by thinking of how bad things might be. But we have the choice. We can either be fearful and turn our backs, or we can enter in and face the risk. I also want to suggest to you, much like I've mentioned before, that we're talking about the mercy of God and the justice of God. And I've pointed out that there really can't be any mercy unless there's justice. Well, I want to suggest to you that without risk, there's no need for courage either. Why would you need courage if you're not ever going to stand up to anything? Why would you need the courage? Be strong and courageous is what God tells Joshua. And after Moses has died, Joshua needs that strength. He needs that encouragement. He's the new leader of Israel. So all these times we see that encouragement. This word in Hebrew is a word, same word that shares the common root with the idea of strength. Courageousness, strength, they go hand in hand. And we're not talking about physical strength, about how much can you bench press, you know, or whatever. Not that kind of strength. But it's moral strength, spiritual strength, intellectual strength, social strength. That idea of spirituality, working for God, serving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what we're talking about. God expects His people to practice that and to excel in that, to be strong and courageous in that sense. But we've got to make sure that we understand what that means. Exactly what is it then that God expects us to understand? What is it about courageousness and strength? We need to learn the difference between that physical courage and that spiritual courage. And I think we can learn the difference by looking at a fellow that we've been studying on Sunday mornings in our auditorium Bible classes, Peter and Jesus. I think we can see the difference very clearly, because we have this fellow, Peter, that we've been studying about, and we haven't gotten to this point in our study of Peter yet, but I think we're all familiar with it. You remember that we find that Peter, he's pretty courageous, it would seem like, from a purely human standpoint. He seems pretty courageous because he risks his life, really. And so Peter has risked his life. He's risked his life. We don't often think of it in those terms. We think of it, oh, he's just impetuous, and he was. But what Peter did, he drew his sword and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. There in John chapter 18, verse 10. You see, to a lot of people, that's being courageous. And man, he was willing to stand up in front of the Lord. He was willing to risk his life. He pulled out that sword. He wasn't the least bit afraid. Man, that takes courage. But see, Peter and most folks confuse that kind of impetuous zealousness with courage that God expects of us. He did that without checking with the Lord, without asking Jesus, Jesus, is this what I'm supposed to do? But you see, the difference is then look what Jesus did. Jesus then allowed the soldiers to arrest him. That took courage. That took strength to follow God's plan. That was the plan, and Jesus knew that. To be arrested, to be crucified for all of us, that takes strength and that takes courage to follow God's instructions. You see, there's the difference that we've got to learn. On the surface, from looking at it from the standpoint of just physical human beings, Peter seemed really courageous. He's willing to lay down his life. He pulls out his sword and starts swinging. But see, on the other hand, Jesus shows us what real courage is, the courage that God expects. He was arrested, and he let them do that. Jesus didn't do anything against those others because that wasn't God's plan. Well, there's something then that obviously we need to figure out. If we've learned this difference and we know what the difference is in the courage that we perceive and the courage that God expects, then it ought to make us come up with a question in our mind, how can that be? How can I have that kind of courage? How can I have that kind of strength? So let's take a look at that. We can tell you from the Scripture how to receive that courage. Exactly. It's very simple. And if you think back to our story of Joshua, that where we started out, right in between two of those commands, to be strong and courageous, we have God explaining to Joshua exactly how to access that courage and that strength. You might not have ever thought about it in that regard, but there in Joshua chapter 1, after telling Joshua, be strong and courageous, and before he repeats it again in verse 10, notice in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Here's how, Joshua, you're to have that courage. Here's where it comes from. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, he says again. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you notice what he tells Joshua? Where's that courage coming from, Joshua? How do you get it? You meditate on God's law day and night. Not only do you think about it, but then you're careful to do it. You think about it, you do it, and that makes your way the right way. That makes your way the successful way. You want to be strong, Joshua? You want to be courageous? Then you keep this book of the law. Don't ever stop talking about God's law. Don't ever stop thinking about God's law. Don't ever stop doing everything according to exactly what God has said to you, that's where your courage comes from. Now, I'm sure that that translated into physical courage for Joshua as well, because he entered into those battles without hesitation. Those battles against all of these fierce warriors, giants, and everything else that they encountered in this new promised land. Joshua knew that God was going to be with him, and so I'm sure that gave him courage in a physical standpoint, but only if Joshua kept God's word in his mind and his heart, and he obeyed what God said. If Joshua had ever let that spiritual courage begin to dissipate, then I'm quite sure that physical courage would have gone by the wayside as well. But then, it's not just Joshua. It's what we might call the new Joshua, Jesus, which is the same name, by the way, as Joshua, just Greek instead of Hebrew. Same name. Jesus said to his disciples something that ought to be even more encouraging than this message between Joshua and God and the people and Joshua of being strong and courageous. And it has to do with the same, Jesus makes exactly the same point in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Does that sound like Jesus is trying to let his disciples understand, hey, God is with you wherever you go too, if you obey me? If you keep my commandments, God's going to help you. The Spirit's coming, the Helper's coming. You're going to have all the help you need. That's how you receive courage. You turn to God and His law, His instructions. You meditate on them. You obey Him. You keep His commandments. Out of our love for God, we'll obey Him. And in return, He is going to strengthen us. And guess what happens when we're strengthened by God? Then we obey Him even more fully. And we spend even more time with Him. You see how that works? The more you serve God, the more God is there. You realize God is there. God strengthens you, then you serve even more. In fact, I think this is maybe a good way to say it, a short way to say it. The more of His strength that we put into practice in our lives, then the stronger and more proficient we become in using it. In other words, we get more courageous. We get stronger. The more of God's law, the more of God's works, the more of that that we put into practice every day of our life, the stronger we're going to be. The more proficient we're going to be. Somebody says, oh, well, I'm not a good teacher. Well, then I suggest you start teaching more. Because you know what happens when you start teaching more? When you start putting it into practice, you get better at it. Somebody says, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. Then I suggest you start doing it. That's exactly the point. We can grow. We can get stronger. In fact, thinking about Peter that we've already used as an example from the New Testament, that's one of the main points of his two letters is grow. He wouldn't have told us to grow if it wasn't something that we could get better at and something that we could do. In fact, let's just look. Let's just look in the Scripture and see what happens when the disciples put that very thing into practice. In fact, I would suggest to you that yes, they were men who had been with Jesus. And yes, they were filled with the Spirit and all of that stuff. But they were still men. They were still men. But they were men who had decided to commit themselves to the Lord. Who had decided to follow Jesus. They had decided to be obedient. God strengthened them. And then they kept serving even more, which is the point we're making. They had the courage to share the gospel.
Think about Peter and John, just as a perfect example of this. You remember they healed a lame man one time. And they healed the man, not in their own name, of course, but in the name of Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, that is, you know, the Jewish high court, they said, you got to stop this. They hauled him in before the court and said, you stop it. If you don't stop it, then it's going to get worse for you. If you don't stop doing these things in his name. Well, Peter and John, they had courage. They had strength. They were strong and courageous. And instead of withdrawing and saying, oh boy, we didn't mean to cause that much kind of trouble. We don't want them to arrest us again. We don't want them to beat us or something worse. What did they do? They went together and joined with the other disciples. They joined together and they prayed for strength and they prayed for boldness to continue sharing the love of God and telling people about the Messiah, telling people about Jesus. You look in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. And this is what they said. This is what their prayer was. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What are they asking for there? What are they asking for? He said, we want to speak with confidence. Yes, they just arrested us. But you know what? We've all gotten together and we want to speak your word more. We want to be bold. We want you to give us confidence. And you know what happened? After they had this prayer about being unified and about being strong and about being bold, I think God took notice. Because you notice what happened in verse 31, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The place shook. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. I think God heard them. God, help us to be strong. Help us to be bold. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. With boldness. Because that's what they desired from God. That's what they had made up their mind to do. And so sometimes, yes, we need to pray to God. Now, I'm not saying that we're in the same position as those disciples that Jesus had chosen there in the first century. I'm not saying that. But we are in the same position in that we're children of God too. That we're brothers and sisters with them. And I do know that we're in the same position in that we can pray to God and ask for courage. We can pray to God and ask for boldness. But I also know that we're in the same position that they are. Because did you notice Peter didn't go running off and hide in a closet somewhere? John didn't go running off and hide, you know, behind the barn. What'd they do? They all assembled together. They all assembled together. They banded together, it says. So, yes, we need to pray to God for strength and courage. But sometimes we also need to have others band together with us. And pray to God together. And again, there's a reason for that. And I will say it summed up in this. That individual strength is to be used for the encouragement and the salvation of others. And you might notice if you're looking at the screen that I have a reference down there for 2 Samuel 10, verse 12. And that's kind of, maybe you think, an unusual thing to stick in there. We're talking about Peter and John and the early apostles. But again, I want you to notice the parallel between what we have in the days of the apostles and in the days of the children of Israel. Back over here in 2 Samuel 10, this is a constant conflict going on in the days of David. And this happens to particularly be a couple of folks that are with David. Joab specifically, if you look back up in 2 Samuel 10 verse 9, you'll see that Joab sees that the battle is not going his way. Joab is the commander. And so he selects from all the choice men of Israel and he arrayed them against the Arameans or the Syrians. The remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother. And he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. So you see, they've got enemies coming from two different places. Things aren't looking good. And he says in verse 11, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you come over and help me. If the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I'll come to help you. You see where I'm going with this, I think. They decided we can do better if we work together in this. And then look in verse 12. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Now see, there's our point. Each of us, yes, we need to be strong and courageous, but we also need to be together, to be unified like the apostles of Jesus were, to be unified, to be as one, to pray to God, give us all the strength, give us the courage, just like Joab says here. Let's work together. Let's work together because we're doing God's work. We're doing this for God. Let's encourage one another. You see, the value of studying the Bible, it's great for us as individuals. But it's not just for us as individuals in terms of our own growth. What I mean by that, it's not just for my own personal development. I need to do that. But it's also to help others have strength. It's also to help others have courage, morally, spiritually, so that we can all together continue in courageous acts of obedience to God's word. Just think what Joab said. We're doing this for the Lord. We're doing this for the sake of God's people, he says. And let the Lord do what is good in his sight. Well, that being said, I think the implications for you and me are obvious. We're not fighting like Joab and Abishai. We're not fighting like they were. But we still have a job to do. And that is to share the message of the kingdom, share the message of the king with everyone around us that we come in contact with. It's going to take strength. It's going to take courage because sometimes we may be at some risk. It may be a physical risk. It may just be a risk of some kind of non-violent risk. I mean by that, like it might be words. It might be economic actions instead of, you know, like chopping off our heads with a sword. But nonetheless, we it might be even just something that comes to us like peer pressure. But you notice Jesus had the courage to continue with his plan, to continue with what he came to do. We notice that Peter and John and those disciples that we've already mentioned, they continued on doing what they needed to do. We can look through the scripture and we can see people like Paul and Silas. Well, they were thrown in jail because they freed a girl from demons. Even folks that are good folks sometimes can unwittingly cause us problems. You remember Mary and Martha? Hey, Jesus, tell my sister to come help me. She's over there. I'm busy serving. She wasn't intending that to be a harsh thing, but that could be discouraging. But every day, you and I are going to run into stuff, but every day, you and I can find ways to show our love for God by loving others, by having the strength and the courage to stand up, whether it be at home, whether it be at work, whether it be at school. Maybe it's just at the grocery store. Maybe that's just where it is. We might face criticism. People probably going to reject us from time to time. It might even get to the point of persecution. But again, speaking about the topics that Peter addresses in his letters, if you suffer as a Christian, rejoice. Be glad that you can. Be strong in that regard. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to read beginning in verse 12. From 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you or for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You can be strong and you can be courageous because you know who's with you. God is with you. And so that's what we want to end with this evening. Be encouraged. Be strong and courageous. Be encouraged. You got to stay on guard. Don't let discouragement replace what God intends us to have. Because when we are discouraged, when we're struggling, sometimes even just in the smallest things, we're not doing what we can do. We're not doing what we're capable of doing for the Lord. You know, Joshua couldn't afford to have any kind of discouragement like that, because he was leading the people of Israel into that promised land. He had a mission to complete. His focus had to be on God being with him wherever he would go. Just a reminder, what is said to him in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. To discourage, that is to take your courage away, to leave you without strength, but to have courage, to be encouraged, is always being empowered. We can be encouraged ourselves. We can feed off one another's encouragement. It's vital for our growth as disciples and for making disciples. Paul, as he wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. See, they already were doing it. See, this encouragement, don't stop. Don't just do something one time and think, okay, I did my bit. I encouraged somebody. No, he says, you're already doing it. And I want you to continue to do that. I want you to keep building. It's an ongoing thing. Encourage one another and build one another up just like you're doing. We know that when we are weak, God is strong. In fact, I was going to close there, but there's something else to think about. Paul, again, as an example, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You remember Paul had that thorn in the flesh? That could be a big discouraging thing. To have that thorn in the flesh, we don't know what it is, and the lesson's not about that. The lesson, actually, what I want to think about is what Paul said in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul is saying, yeah, I know I have a hard time. I have some difficult things. But strength is made perfect in weakness. It's made complete in that weakness because it helps us to see our dependence on God and realize that God is where our strength comes from. And that's why God has given us all this information. That's why he's given us the sacrifice that was made for us. That's why he's given us brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can build one another up, so that we can be encouraged. And that's better than just any kind of ordinary strength, like how much you can bench press. You know, that's the way the world looks at things. That's not the way we look. We know that we are on the Lord's side, and he tells us that when we're with him, we can get things done. John chapter 15, he tells us that we can bear fruit. That we can bear fruit as long as we're with him. He says in verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But then he adds another line too. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do it on our own. But we certainly can do it with the Lord. We can be strong. We can be courageous by coming to him. There may be those here tonight who need to come to the Lord. Put your trust in him. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Understand that you don't have to worry about slipping and falling on something that's unsure and unstable, because God's word is sure and stable. That's why he told Joshua, don't let my words leave your mouth. Meditate on them day and night. That's the foundation Joshua had. That's the foundation we had. That's where our strength, that's where our courage comes from. And if you're here tonight and you've made up your mind to serve the Lord, we would help you however we can. If you are here tonight and you have served the Lord in the past, but you have stepped away from your service, come back to the Lord. Ask his forgiveness. Ask for his strength so that you can be strong and courageous. Or perhaps you need the prayers to God along with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ for strength and for encouragement, helping you to realize that you have a foundation in God that will give you that strength and that courage. And certainly, if we can help you in any way at all, we'd be glad to do it. If you'd let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.